the names.
Ash and Agar.
I just thought, gee, that's a pretty good catch. I was like pretty excited.
The inside.
We had a few people trying to find more out about us and about Ash.
You were like Princess Kate.
Inside the furnace.
Yeah! Yeah!
Scorchers podcast.
Well, we're about to sit back, relax, and catch up. Usually, Jess, on Inside the Furnace, we talk to lovers,
yes,
family members.
Yep.
But this
positive
week,
relationships.
Yes. This week, it's all about best mates.
Bromance. Housemates, bromance. We've got Ashton Turner and Cameron Bancroft.
Perth Scorchers memberships are now on sale for another action-packed season. Get in quick to secure the hottest seats at the furnace. Visit membership.perthscorchers.com.au.
Are you guys pumped?
Nervous.
Now, we normally have partners and close family, relatives and stuff like that in this, giving a bit of dirt. We've got housemates.
We are partners.
And a bromance in here. I want to take you both back to probably about a decade ago. You'd been playing under 13s footy and cricket together for a bit. And then under 15s, WA State Cricket Academy, you first met. AT, what was your impression of Bang when you met him as a 15-year-old?
Yeah, well, growing up in a pretty similar part of Perth, we'd played junior footy and cricket against each other at club level and at school, so I'd sort of played against him, and I'd developed this hatred towards him at this stage. Both being very competitive, I think that was sort of the trait that shone through. But it was our first experience. We both got picked in the WA under 15 cricket team, it was, and we went to Maroochydore on tour, and that was my first time I'd ever met Cameron. And we actually roomed together. I don't know if you remember, but we did room together, and I'll never ever forget the first day we got there. You know, we get there to Maroochydore, everything's really new for us, and
Bag's already laughing there. Here.
And the first thing you do is, few of us had parents there and whatnot, and we all go down to Coles to buy some supplies for the week. You know, we got to cook and stuff like that. Okay, we're going down to the to Coles to get some food. Do you want anything? He's like, nah, mate, got everything. Like, what do you mean you got everything? We just got off the plane. And he opens his suitcase, and there he is, frozen mules for the whole trip. Half his suitcase is frozen food, half's clothes, and he's set. And I was like, oh, this bloke is different.
So mum's prepared it for him off the top.
Nah, no, my auntie lives in Brisbane.
Yeah.
So at the time, I'm sort of a bit funky with routines and stuff. So at the time, like, eating pasta bolognese for breakfast on game days was like routine. So she'd like produce like all of my like food pretty much for breakfast for the next week.
I heard a quote, Ash, that Cameron was a bit of a weird, nerdy kid. Is that correct about him?
It's not far, yeah. I just remember, if you met Cameron when he was 15, he's a very different person than he is now. Not so much for better or for worse. He's very different bloke, and I'd probably, at that junior level, I would have described him as a little bit naive. A little bit wet behind the ears.
Yep, fair.
Definitely fair. I'll cop that, yeah.
Changed, have you?
Oh, I just think I've just probably grown up and, you know, learnt lessons the hard way and things like that. And, yeah, hopefully just developed out to be a very good young man. So
we've brought you to the dark side, haven't we?
I have.
Inside the Furnace. The Perth Scorchers podcast.
Moving through the years of a best friend relationship, I go through the past of your social media. In 2011, Ashton Turner likes Cameron Bancroft on Crick Info, so that would have been a big moment in your relationship. In 2012, jeez, August, there's a pic of you two playing cricket with hashtag best mates for life. Ooh. So getting more and more in-depth there. Ooh. And obviously we come to 2 years ago where you decide that the relationship is at the stage where you need to move in together.
Oh, like, I don't know what to say. That's a
tell
perfect
us about
life
living
story,
together,
that,
guys.
We actually moved in together. Well, Cameron bought a house and I was still living at home at this stage, and I actually, you'd lived there for a few months before I moved in, and it was New Year's Eve I moved in, and it was quite impulsive. It was sort of the day before, like, why don't you move in? I was like, oh, yeah, why not?
I think for like probably a little period of time leading up to there, like I was was interested in someone else, like coming and moving into the play sort of thing. Like it was, yeah, I was probably like a little bit lonely at the time sort of thing. Like I didn't have a partner or anything at the time. So I
did you have your eyes set on AT?
Well, all the other boys had girlfriends. So like that was like an absolute no-go. Ash Nagar was actually living with Andrew Tye at the time. So he already had someone. Will Bazisto, like, just...
We thought he was going to live at home forever.
He was going to live with his mum and dad forever. has since grown up and bought a place. Well done, Boz. I think Ash was just, like, unsure if he, like, wanted to, I don't know, waste his money on, like, rent and stuff like that, but... I just kept it casual and eventually...
Yeah, we were breaking the
You played the long game.
Yeah.
Well, I think what happened was we both started playing golf at Melville Glades Golf Club, which is around the corner. And so we both just developed this love for golf and we're playing golf so much. It was ridiculous. Like, neither of us probably got a run that year. We were hitting that many golf balls. But it's around the corner. So I think I moved in, not so much because you were lonely, but more because...
playing golf.
Around the corner from the golf club. So.
Yeah.
What's he like to live with? Or what's he like as the sort of owner of the house?
He's a bit of a dictator. Yeah. It's been good. Especially lately, he's been away a lot. So I've had the house to myself. And last winter, I was had a shoulder operation. So I was stuck in Perth and he was off playing county cricket. So we actually, the last few weeks have been the first sort of couple of weeks together we've had back at the pad. But it's been good. It's been, I think, we're very different personalities.
Is there a name for the pad?
No, well, it gets commonly referred to. I won't say the street. It gets called by its street name.
Right. A number. Yeah. Mm. And it's very commonly known.
So it's used, call it the address of the house.
Yeah, and it's very commonly used around by the boys around the team. They like all get around it.
But you're kind of quite different people in terms of living together, aren't you?
Yeah, we're absolute polar opposites, I would say.
How?
I would say I'm quite relaxed and you're probably the opposite. I think we do complement each other quite well. I don't know, for me it's been a good experience. He's obviously got lots of set routines and he's quite diligent with his preparation and things like that. So it has been good for me to see how he goes about it. And you know, I by no means copy what he does because a lot of things he rituals and things don't work for me. But it's been, I think we're just very accepting of how we go about our lives, and we're pretty honest as well. If something annoys us, then we just bring it up, and it's avoid most complications. So,
yeah. Do you drive together to training? Do you drive together to games? Things like that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we usually just like take turns. 4 day cricket's probably easy, sort of, you know, you got 4 days, so like someone will drive one day, someone will drive the next day. Tend to go to the local cafe, Ruby's Bakehouse, for on like game days sort of thing. We'll have like breakfast there and stuff and then go off. So
would you feel safe driving with AT though? I think you've told me that he's not always the safest driver.
Nah,
just be careful what you say. I've got a lot more dirt than you've got on me.
There was a little incident a couple of years ago, post a Big Bash fixture, and Ashton drove his car to the ground. He drives a Volvo, just so you know. Volvo drivers have a history of being
five-star
poor drivers. Anyway, that's why they need those ratings, because they're crap drivers. But anyway, he was parked in a particular spot at the Wacker, and obviously the big TV trucks were like out the back.
Yep.
And he's reversing out, not really sort of aware of how much distance. Yeah. He does have a reversing camera, which is actually quite bizarre how this happened. But anyway, he's pulled out and just like a rod or something like that has gone straight through the back windscreen and shattered it completely, and had to drive home. And you can imagine there was no window there.
It's a pretty glass flying around. I'm going to show the photo that Bang sent me yesterday.
Oh, dear. That's nasty.
That's significant damage, AT.
I don't know if you remember that photo.
Do you remember that one? We'll put it on the podcast, but...
Vividly.
You've absolutely obliterated the back window there.
Yeah, so in rebuttal. I actually heard quite a good quote from one of our overseas players, Tim Bresnan, in the car park after training the other day, described Cameron's car. He said, "I didn't know you're a part-time geography teacher." Drives a quite a car. But also, I'll take you back to...
Toyota Camry, is it?
Orion, actually.
Oh, yeah. Apologies.
Bit conservative. Bit conservative.
It's got a...
Me?
Yeah.
Pleather seats, so it's good.
Pleather.
But also, you can't criticise my driving, because I've also been in a car when Cameron's been driving, and he crashed in his own driveway into the side fence.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Damn.
Everything you bring up did. On me, I have yeah. got something to come back.
Freshly painted fence, too. Oh.
How did you crash into your own fence?
Well, very good question, Jess.
Well, what's happened is we are that my
you also have a reversing camera.
The house, yeah, I do. That was the problem. So, like, the house is in like the back property of a duplex, and it like sort of bends around the corner. So, in order to get out onto the road, sort of thing, you got to do a bit of a
turn,
sort of thing. And when I first moved in, it was actually I found it quite tricky. Anyway, like, the point is, I shouldn't have made this error at this point in time. Like, I've been living
this
there for
12 months after we'd moved in, by the way.
Well and truly. And I've just pulled out. I think we're actually going to training. We're going to Murdoch, and we're probably, like, just pushing time a little bit. And I was just a little bit reckless around the corner, and the front nose of my car just, like, took the fence.
Big scrap.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but shouldn't have happened. Rookie error.
Rookie error.
Now, I asked you guys... I asked AT yesterday what your relationship at home was like, and you described it as you're the risk taker, AT, and you're the safe one, bang. Okay. Now, in terms of house security, quite different.
Yeah, got about five locks on our front door.
There's three locks.
How many do you lock, AT?
Well, I think that once one's locked, it would be easier to break in through a window or somewhere else.
Which leads to...
I
knew this was going to come up.
Yeah,
all great plans.
There was a particular moment where Ashton forgot his key, so he couldn't quite get in, and there was no spare key out at the time. And in order to get in, Ashton had to get one of the spare bricks that I had in the backyard and smash the window in order to, like, climb through and get in.
This is Scorchers Country. So be a part of all the action on and off the field. Become a Perth Scorchers member today. Visit membership.perthscorchers.com.au.
I watch Gogglebox a lot. So when you two are at home together, do you sit and watch the TV? And you know those two blokes on Gogglebox that just chat away? Is that you guys, or are you a bit different to that?
Yeah, we were talking about this like the other day with someone. We actually don't watch TV much, do we?
Unless there's a
big bash game on.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Both started playing the guitar about 6 months ago. So yep. It's a bit of a music studio I lounge room at the moment.
Wow. And are you a bit more advanced than Jolly Paris?
He is the biggest wannabe guitarist I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know there's a
I'm
photo
sure
of him that... flying around. The chat is genuinely, he picked his guitar up and... his sister is gone. Can you take a photo of me playing this? Pretending
I'm
to play.
I'm surprised you haven't asked for any photos to be taken.
Have you not Are got you the profile photo with your guitar?
Well, actually, Mitchell Marsh put an Instagram story up of me.
It made it all over the news.
Yeah, it did. It did. It was nice to sort of get a bit of recognition for the hard work that I've been putting in the studio.
Got no fear. I'm quite. I like to leave my talents just to the lounge room at home, but he's performed. He went up and played at a pub.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm a risk taker.
In Perth?
Yeah, there was a...
he didn't have to sing, just played. I could play. It's probably
can either of you sing?
Oh, absolutely not. No. He's a little bit better than me, but we're both horrendous.
So can you play a song together now? Like if I said to you, and we don't have guitars, but what would you strum together? What would be a pretty good piece?
We actually had Ash Agar over the other night. We had a barbecue and we ended up, we serenaded him a little bit. We song Kids by MGMT.
It.
That's our go-to at the moment.
That's a bit funky acoustic version.
Yeah, we've got a few parts in there.
Yeah,
singing's not too difficult.
Do you stare into each other's eyes when you're playing guitar together?
Just staring at the frets, make sure you don't stuff
it up.
Inside the Furnace, this is the Perth Scorchers podcast.
Hey, Can I ask about Instagram? And you're both on Instagram, but Cam Bancroft has become a superstar now. He's in the Australian team, the great opener. He's now got four Instagram accounts. I want to know whether you started them all or have you seriously got fans? You've got the Cam Bancroft, the normal 04. Then there's the Cameron Bancroft fan page. We're here to support your bangers. He is a lifeline to us. The Cameron Timothy Bancroft, created just last year in December, Follow My Fan Club, which sounds a bit like you've set up your own one. And there's the Cameron Bancroft _ fan page. He's the best opening batsman.
He's definitely started them all.
No doubt.
That's a bit too creative for me, I think.
Did you know about him?
I've seen a couple of things, like I've been tagged in a few things, like on my like social media, so they've been noted. But yeah, look, I'll just focus on my own my own
not publicly page. Endorsing them.
Yeah.
No, so has he sort of, you know, got carried away with himself, AT, or is he still well grounded now that he's an Australian superstar in cricket?
Well, actually, it's funny. We get to training now, and he refuses to carry his cricket bag around. Oh, he gets, really? one of the rookies in the squad to carry his bag around.
Bangers, no.
Yeah, he's definitely changed a lot. I don't recognise the new man I see after an Ashes winning series.
Perth Scorchers memberships are now on sale for another action-packed season. Get in quick to secure the hottest seats at the Furnace. Visit membership.perthscorchers.com.au.
On a serious note, are you proud of what he's achieved? Especially in recent times, and it was a tough Ashes campaign, but just the fact that he made the team and had an impact.
Yeah, I don't openly admit around him that he's, you know, but it is like we talked about before. We've had known each other for a long time, and it's, you know, I feel like I've been there for his journey on the cricketing, and like he's been there for mine, and it is amazing. You know, we both grew up and were cricket fans as kids, and you watch all these guys playing in Ashes series on TV, and they're your heroes. They're the guys who inspire us to go on and play cricket and be where we are. And so to see Cam, you know, opening the batting for Australia in an Ashes series in Australia, it was unbelievable. I couldn't be happier for him. And, you know, I think he did himself and his teammates and his family's great service. And, you know, he's been rewarded. He's been picked in the next Test series to South Africa, and I know that he's going to have a really long career. He probably didn't get as many runs as he would have liked in the first series, but you know, there's a reason that the selectors have stuck with him. He's been awesome in Shield cricket for us, especially this year, and he's played well over in England and in India in lots of conditions, and I know that he's going to play a lot of Test cricket for Australia. So it was a bit surreal sitting on his couch watching him open the batting, but it was very happy for him.
On the flip side, Hoggy, Brad Hogg, the other day said that this man could captain Australia. Your time to pump him up.
Yeah. Oh, look, growing up, Ash has always been a very good leader. He's always, he's always been a very aggressive cricketer. He's got a very, risk-taking mindset, willing to do, like, whatever it takes to win games of cricket kind of thing. And, like some of my earliest memories of like Ash leading teams and stuff was actually under 17s in our Western Australia under 17 sort of side, and we actually won the carnival, and Ash was captain of the team. And the way he was able to bring people together. One thing I was always envious of growing up playing against Ash, you know, he played for Fremantle and played for Adderdale and footy and stuff, and the teams that he used to play in were like always had brilliant cultures about him. And I've got no doubt that like his leadership skills and what he brought to cricket teams was a massive part of that. And shock horror, he won a lot of titles and premierships and things like that with those teams. So I'm not surprised that Hoggy, I know everyone in our team thinks that as well. That's why he's vice captain of Western Australia. So very lucky. Yeah.
Inside the Furnace, it's the sound of the Scorchers. Want the look too? Check out the awesome merch at perthscorchers.com.au.
And you said to me when you came back to the Scorcher squad after your Aussie thing, it felt like a warm hug coming back into the WA boys. Is it kind of cool being best mates, housemates, and then, you know, being in the middle of the pitch and slogging it together as you've kind of done in the last couple of games?
Yeah. I sort of did have a very rare chance to reflect, and the other night I went out to bat and I had Cam was not out and he got 50-odd, and then when he got out, Ash Agar came in and we were able to finish the run chase off together. So I got to bat in front of 22,000 fans in at the Wacker ground. I've grown up going to watch cricket and, you know, in front of friends and family and be able to do what we love with two of my best mates. It's, you know, you often forget how lucky we are to be doing what we're doing, and we're, you know, we're super privileged to be living in Perth and playing cricket with our mates. It's, you know, it's a little bit surreal, and you don't often sit back and smell the roses, if you like, but it's certainly very lucky.
And you not only just batted and made 50, but the ramp shot over the top to win the game.
There's that shot I was talking about. Has he got enough on it? I reckon he has. Ooh. It's one bounce four to fine leg. Ashton Turner brings up his 50 as well from his 27 balls. The Scorchers do it again.
We spoke to Ashton Agar a couple of weeks ago and about the one where he hit the winning runs off the last ball, and he said his heart was pounding. This wasn't as much pressure because I think there was two balls remaining, or maybe even three, but what's your emotions when you're going through the game and you need to finish it off because you know maybe the bowlers are going to come in, you don't know what's going to happen after that?
Yeah, I, sort of a weird one the other night. I pride myself on being able to stay cool under pressure, and that's why you do all your training, so that you are relaxed and you keep your emotions in control. In the second last over, when I hit a six off the last ball, I did something that I never ever thought I would see on a cricket field, and I gave the crowd a triple fist pump, and I regretted it. I regretted it straight away. I thought, what have you done here, Ashton? If you lose this, you are going to look like the biggest proverbial in world cricket if you bottle this after you carry on.
Like a this one? Or
yeah,
a...
yeah. Gave a
straight up,
and not it wasn't only one, it was triple fist pump. I'm sure the boys in the
but is that big bash laughing. Cricket, like you wouldn't do that in a Shield game or even definitely. A one day game, but is that what's
amazing? And it literally was just the emotion of the game. It's, you know, it's not premeditated, it's not something you think about doing, it's just, it was spur of the moment, and that is the emotion that sport can bring out in you when you're out there in the heat of the battle. You think, I actually felt pretty relaxed, and, you know, I felt like I was in the zone, as they say, and wasn't thinking about too much. But when something like that happens, I don't know where it came from, and I hope it never comes back out, but it was
overcame.
The ramp shot, can I ask, when did you actually decide to go, because it was a pretty courageous shot?
Yeah, so I've played a couple in this tournament so far, and I've never even practiced in the nets or never done it before. It's something that's really impulsive, and it's pretty much about, I think one of the reasons I've had a little bit of success in this tournament is just, I'm not worried about my technique. I'm more worried about just hitting the ball where fielders aren't. It's a really simple thought, but it's, you know, once you can just concentrate on that and watch the ball and forget about everything else, it simplifies the game. And, you know, just that opportunity, that the field had changed for that ball and there was a gap there, and it's sort of just a matter of trying to manufacture a shot to get the ball where you want to hit the ball. And, you know, I was fortunate on this occasion that it came off in a moment that I needed it to come off after a triple fist pump.
God, I've got to back this up. Speaking of headspace and where you're at while you're playing cricket, bang, there's a shot in the paper when you were away on the test tour where you were reading a book called The Courage to Be Disliked, and you don't mind a bit of a holistic sort of spiritual reflection on yourself. What goes through your head when you're out there?
Usually monkeys dancing around in my head. No, I think I'm probably a bit more like systematic in the way that I think. Like, I want to be able to write, this is the information I'm getting, how's this going to like help me to be successful out the middle, right? Now I'm going to like put it all together and create like a successful formula that's going to work. That's probably the way that my head works, sort of thing. You know,
it's so you're quite planned and structured while you're out there.
Yeah, but I think I've become a lot more relaxed to that. You know, I'm willing to accept the fact that I might walk out to the middle and feel like I'm moving, like a feet stuck to the ground, like can't move, sort of thing. Like, if I'm hitting the ball in the middle of the bat, that's pretty much like all I'm happy with. But I'm always willing to, you know, work hard, improve my game, try and keep a very open mind with things as well. But that's probably been my journey as a cricketer.
Inside the Furnace. This is the Perth Scorchers podcast.
couple of questions from the
fans. We got a couple of questions from the crowd. We put out the call last night and we got a huge response. So first off, another Cameron has said, what's it like when you guys get home after a win? When you eventually get home after a win?
Can I jump in before that? What's it like when you get home and he hasn't made a lot of runs?
Certainly a very different household.
Who's the sorest loser?
If we've won, it's okay. But if we lose and either neither of us have got any runs or one of us has not got any runs, it's quite a somber mood in the house. And
do you get cranky?
I do. I think Cameron's... I think I hide it.
He
I think
internalises
it. Yeah, I think I do. And I think I try and stay pretty level-headed, whether I'm gone well or haven't had any success. I think Cameron's lets his emotions out a bit more. And it's if you had a camera at home, you don't need to see the scorecard to know if he's got runs or not.
That's the competitiveness in you.
Yeah. Yeah, I like live and die by the sword, pretty much, sort of thing. And cricket's one of those games. It was really funny. We were having a chat with JR, I think, after Alice Springs, and he was saying, you know, no matter what, even like as a coach or whatever, cricket is one of those games where you're either winning or you make runs and you're at the high ecstasy, like up here, and then you lose a game and straight away you're back down here. Like it's actually so difficult to be in between, because that's just the game of cricket. Like it's not like a level game. It's a very you know, topsy-turvy game.
And it's often reflects one ball, one decision, moments,
you know, decisions, you know, like, and that's just the way cricket is. And I think the more you play and the more you fail at the game, I reckon the better you get at dealing with those things.
Right, we've got Hudson, the weirdest habit at your place. And Bang just closes his eyes and looks at AT.
I'll jump in there. And it's a routine that has changed a little bit, but I've touched on before that Cam went away over the Australian winter and played county cricket in England. And he developed a little bit of a routine over there. And as a result, it was a bit of a shock to me the first morning he got back in Perth. But his new routine involved a medicine ball, and he calls them plyos, and they're a form of exercise.
Yeah.
They're a form of exercise, and every morning he's got this medicine ball that's about 7 kilos, and he thumps it into the concrete ground outside my bedroom window as loud as he can.
At what time in the morning?
Well before I wake up. It's normally about 7 o'clock, and that's followed by a cold shower.
Even in winter, cold shower?
Even better.
Every morning we're talking.
Yeah, I worked with an S&C coach when I was at Gloucestershire County Cricket Club, and he was as nuts as what I am, pretty much. And it was awesome because I had no fear to like talk about anything to him. And I became fascinated with like why some days you wake up in the morning and you're just not on, and then some days you wake up in the morning and you are on. So you know, I just started experimenting like with things in the morning and stuff, and just developed a little bit of a routine. A lot of like, you know, successful people, a lot of businessmen and things like that were using like cold showers in the morning, just first thing straight to bed into a cold shower, just to like wake them up and get their nervous system going and things like that. And I study meditation and holistic counseling anyway, so you know, that was a really important part of, you know, my morning and setting myself up for the day. So I just started to bring all of these things together. Yeah, it was like probably, yeah, it was a bit random sort of thing, but I didn't care because the end of the day, I'm just trying to get the best out of myself every day. So, yeah.
I got a routine as well, but it involves hot coffee and hot showers.
Yeah. I like that one. I like that routine better.
Not as exciting,
like. Last one from the crowd, and this is from Mick from Wembley, aka my husband.
Hey, found himself in.
Yeah.
Face of the action.
Favorite club cricket moment, because he's clearly a club cricketer and can't get much past that.
Club cricket moment. Involving like him or
no, just individually.
General?
What's your favourite club cricket as a junior or?
Have you made like a massive score club cricket wise, like 200, 300, 400, 300, anything like that?
I haven't got any 400s. No.
How many 400s have you got?
Well, in the backyard.
My first A grade 100 was pretty special.
How old were you?
What's your club?
It's probably 18, 17 or 18, I reckon. Willison District Cricket Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the one of the like amazing things about like club cricket coming through is how much it's changed. Like it's not really a moment, but like when you like started playing A grade cricket, you think about like all the legends that like you would have played with at Frio and stuff like that, and like how that changes, and then all of a sudden you become those like senior players in your team sort of thing, and younger guys coming through probably, you know, look up to you in the same way you did when you were 15 or something like that. So that's a pretty, like, I reckon, amazing thing about club cricket now.
18.
Grade cricket clubs are amazing places. Yeah. They're like big families, and I play at Fremantle Cricket Club, and you know, I couldn't be prouder of the club. It's an amazing place, and I remember when I've played there since I was 12 years old, sort of thing, coming up in the juniors, you know, and played against Cameron the whole time. And I remember when I first came into the A grade side, I think I was 16 when I played my first game, and you know, we weren't a very good side, and for a few years we struggled, and then you know, we started to get a little bit better, have a little bit more success. And this was sort of the time before I was playing much state cricket, so I was playing every week for Fremantle, and you know, so I've sort of seen this club develop a lot over you know, almost 10 years now in grade cricket. And 2 years ago we made the A grade final. We got beaten. There was a lot of rain, which really hurt us. And then the next year we made the one day final, and which we lost as well. But then we made the 2020 final and were able to win. So you know, we got a flag sitting in the clubhouse now at Fremantle down at Stevens Reserve, and you know, it's a club with a lot of history, and there's a lot of legends who have played there. We've got a Test cricketers bar, and there's about 15 Test cricketers who have been through the club, so it's a lot of rich history. And you know, it's a great question because I love grade cricket, and I know that a lot of the guys playing, or pretty much all the guys, are very proud of their clubs, and there's certainly a lot of banter around the state squads and the Scorcher squads about club cricket.
Perth Scorchers memberships are now on sale for another action-packed season. Get in quick to secure the hottest seats at the Furnace. Visit membership.perthscorchers.com.au.
Can I finish off before we do wrap it up? Scorchers, finals, you know that you're going to be playing at the new stadium in a semi-final. Beyond that, depends on how you go. The excitement around the team and the bunch of mates that you seem to talk about a lot, the potential of maybe taking it out again.
Oh, yeah, it'd just be unbelievable, wouldn't it? I think the last few weeks, and like, I know when Adam Vogt just got banned for that game, and Alice Springs Ash was captain for the game, and he made a really good point that certainly been stuck with for, you know, that time since, is that like we've won 3 BBL titles. We actually like don't need to prove anything to anyone. We know that we're like the best team in the competition. We just need to go out and play like we are. And we do. So that's a, you know, I think that's just our attitude that we create. We've just created a lot of self-belief in the group, and even for people outside that have come in as replacement players for us, they come into our environment and they believe and feel that as well. You know, it's infectious. So yeah, look, we're not here to finish second or third. We're here to win it, and you know, what better way to do that at the Perth Stadium? Everyone's really excited,
and even more special because he missed a couple of games. You've missed the Marsh brothers, Richardson's come in and out, Ty's come in and out. You've had so many changes. Would this be probably the most special win because of those challenges?
Yeah, and there's guys getting picked to play for Australia, which is awesome to see. Teammates getting call up for higher honours, but also just the injuries we've had. It's been ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen a season like it where we're just depleted. And you know, I've said it before in interviews, you know, there's been so much talk about the guys that we don't have, but for us it's more important about the players that we do have. And you know, just touched on grade cricket, and we've got some really exciting players coming through, and these guys are now getting chances to play in the Big Bash for the Perth Scorchers, who are, you know, with the reigning premiers. It's a really good side, and we're getting to see local guys. We've had about 4 debuts this season, which is unbelievable, and these guys are walking into our side and winning us games. Tin David's smacking sixes to win us the games at the Wacker. You know, I think it really is a testament to the depth that we've got and the programs we've got in place here in Western Australia. But we do, you're right, we've got a lot of guys out, but it's so exciting to see the guys who can come in and fill their shoes.
Inside the Furnace, the Perth Scorchers podcast.
And we're just going to wrap up with some quick fire questions, okay? We've heard a lot about the relationship and the two of you and the competitiveness and stuff like that. So I want you both to fire back at me straight away.
This is new.
Who's the funniest? You got to say it. It's like an audio thing, though. He just pointed to himself.
I definitely am. I definitely am. And it's only because I do just stupid
things.
That's
the funniest thing he's ever said.
Who's the tightest with money?
Ah, him. Ah, by far. Air conditioning on if it's 45 degrees only.
Who's the prettiest?
Oh, I don't think either of us are overly blessed.
Can't polish two, can you?
We try and roll smartest? It in glitter.
You, stop pointing. You got to say it.
It's a podcast.
Thanks,
Ken.
That's oh, nice. There you
I'd
go.
I'd say Ashton's probably smart.
Who's the strongest?
He's definitely mentally stronger. I'm a bit... I've got a bad shoulder at the moment. I'll give him the votes.
Oh. He does 7 kilo.
He runs better than what I do.
Yeah.
Ashton.
So oh, different. Look at that. Who's the best cricketer?
I haven't played a test match, so I'll give him that one.
Ooh.
That's a draw.
Who does JL like more?
Ooh. That is an interesting question.
Because you're both Cameron, pretty well loved.
Oh, Cameron and JL have had some of the great blow-ups I've ever seen between a player and a coach. Going back a couple of years, they have had some proper dust-ups, both very stubborn. I know this is meant to be quick fire, but they can be both very stubborn, and when they disagree on something, it can get heated, and it's awesome to watch.
Well, Ashton Turner, Cam Bancroft, Lockie Reed, another one done inside
Legends.
The furthest. Thanks
Legends.
For joining us, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, that stumps on another Perth Scorchers podcast. But stay up to date on all the latest on the Scorchers at perthscorchers.com.au.